Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
This week, we cover Castle Freak.
Castle Freak.
Stuart Gordon, the director of Fortress, The Pit and the Pendulum, and Reanimator, takes you into the dungeons of Castle Dorsino. Now, an American family.
Welcome to Castle Riley, lady.
Will inherit a legacy of evil.
They say the castle is haunted.
And a master of modern horror. Will unleash his most terrifying creation. Stuart Gordon's Castle Freak.
There's somebody else here! There's somebody in the castle!
We want you to search the castle! Giorgio Dorsino. He was never buried. She kept him alive. He's here somewhere in the castle. There is a madman in here, but my family is in danger.
Reanimators Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton in Stuart Gordon's Castle Freak.
Castle Freak!
Now, this was your first time seeing this, right?
It was my second time.
Ah.
But it was the most memorable time because Castle Freak was one of those movies that I watched late night, like on the weekend when I would go over to my aunt's house when I was like 9 or 10 years old. I used to go to my great aunt, and I would go over to her house and I would watch all kinds of stuff like Joe Bob and Up All Night and the weird fucking like midnight, you know, they don't have it anymore. It's like you have, like, that weird movie that comes on, you know, and it has, like, the movie tonight or, you know, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, what is it? Crazy. Yeah, tonight's movie is.
Yes.
It always had that deep-voiced guy announcing it.
And it was always the craziest fucking movie. Like, my grandmother would let me watch, and my mom, well, she didn't know. I would be doing this in my great-aunt's house. So this is one of those movies where it was, like, I wasn't supposed to be watching, but I wasn't being supervised either. So I watched it, and then I watched it at such a young age. I only remember bits of it, and now watching it again, I was like, oh, shit, I remember this. And then other parts where I was just like, I have no recollection of this at all because this shit is crazy, and I feel like I would have remembered it, you know?
Yeah.
So it was definitely a very interesting, weird, like, deja vu-ish film to watch.
Yeah, my first Stuart Gordon one I saw was Reanimator, and I saw that, like, I stayed up late one night and watched it on HBO when I was just alone, just watching it, like, glued to the TV, and it was like, oh my god, it's the most insane movie ever. So when I saw this was from him, I was like, oh yeah, everything he's done so far I've loved, I gotta see this. And it came out back when 94, when I was working at the video store, so you know, a lot of times you can get to see stuff early. So this is one of the ones I saw a few weeks earlier than everyone else and was talking it up everywhere. This is the craziest shit. I love this movie. And then everybody would get it and be like, oh, what the hell is wrong with you? Did you see this movie? This movie's crazy. I'm like, yeah, but it was fun.
I think I have to throw this out there. This is probably my favorite Stuart Gordon movie.
Okay.
You know, Reanimator, Bride of Reanimator, like, all of those movies. And then, what was that other crazy movie we saw? The Beyond?
Yes.
That movie.
From Beyond.
From Beyond's my second favorite. even though I just recently learned the name 5 seconds ago. From Beyond.
It is very confusing. There's a lot of Beyond type horror movies.
There is a lot of Beyond type horror movies. From Beyond would be my second. Reanimator series, that they're great. I love them. But they're not my favorite. And then maybe it's because I'm a little bit perverted. Because this movie is... If you were just a person that was just on social media and you had never seen this movie, how I would describe this, this is literally, like, literally monsters holding bitches, but it's just a monster. Monster holding bitches. Like, this is that film.
Yep. If you notice, all of Stuart Gordon stuff has a lot, there's a lot of sex in all of his movies. Probably his least sexy movie is Dolls. That's the only one I can think of that doesn't have a lot of nudity and sex in it. Because Reanimator...
That would be weird.
Yeah, Reanimator's filled with it. Bride Reanimator's filled
with
it.
They have to put, like, doll parts.
Yeah, that's
no
probably why they did.
No Courtney Love whole reference there.
Yeah. That's probably why that one didn't have a lot in it.
And then, like, the drilling guy. Okay, you just took me... Like, I could literally start talking about weird sexual
puppets.
Puppet.
Yeah.
Like, whole film that we could just create.
And, yeah, From Beyond is probably my favorite of his because that movie is just nuts. And I love just the whole, you know, it's confined to one room, and or pretty much one house, rather, and they still manage to make it scary as hell.
Yeah, they definitely, he definitely knows how to make a film, that guy. Now, we can literally pick this, there's so many different crazy scenes in the movie. Let's just start off with, do you want to give like a little basic synopsis of it?
Yeah. So basically, Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton, who are the, you know, the official Stuart Gordon players.
They're parents now. They're now in that role.
Yeah. This is their most normal, actually, probably. Yeah. Especially for Barbara Crampton. They're her most normal role in this one. And for Jeffrey Combs, he's like, oh yeah, this time he's an alcoholic whoremonger. But he's not an evil scientist, alcoholic whoremonger. So this one makes him probably the most normal he's ever been in a Stuart Gordon movie. But they find out that Jeffrey Combs has inherited a castle in Italy.
Like you do, you know, when people pass.
He found out he had an aunt that he didn't know about. And so they decide to move over there with their daughter, who recently... Jeffrey Combs had been driving the daughter and their 5-year-old son home, and he was drunk, had a car accident, killed the son, and blinded the daughter. So him and Barbara Crampton are on the outs.
I didn't mean to laugh there. I was like, keep it short with the synopsis, and you're like literally told all the backstory.
Well, that's okay.
No, you're doing that's definitely what happens in the thing. I didn't know we were gonna give away like what happened to, you know, to her to make her blind. Because she's a big part of the film. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, she's the quote-unquote bitch and the monster holding bitches.
So then they move into the castle, and as is, you know, wont to happen when you move into a strange castle in another country, unusual events begin occurring.
Yeah. Let's just talk about the one main thing. Like, right when they get there, you know, whatever, the introductions to the maid and everything... Literally, like, I don't know, 2 minutes into them being there, maid, like, comes back into the room after she already, like, discussed, you know, stuff with them. And is like, when are you going to be leaving? Is it you're going to sell the house and then immediately leave? Or, like, what's going
on? What's going on? How long are you going to be here? How long till you go?
Yeah, she's like, I would have been like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, once the people that live in the town start going... You are not going to stay in the castle, right? You're not going to stay very long. You should know immediately there's some shit going on in the castle.
And there was some crazy shit going on in the castle beforehand. But now that the family has moved in, you get to see, like, Jeffrey Combs. I have to say that he's a little forceful. There's a scene where, you know, you don't really know right off the bat, but something happened because Shad kind of, like, told you guys what happens, but you know that the death of their child and the whole accident, she blames him for it, so they're not really in sleeping like cuddly terms. Like, they're like on the outs of getting divorced. And
yeah, that's another awkward scene where she asked the maid, and can you just make up another room for the husband? And the maid looks like, oh, shit, these people have moved in. It's these people.
Yes. And he, like says, like, I miss you so much, and then forcibly, like, makes out with her.
Yeah, and Barbara Crampton's having none of that shit.
No, she is not. She's like, get the fuck off. Like, what are you doing? Jeffrey calls me, and then there's some other, I can never unsee what I saw. Like, and I've seen him do, as you know, so many characters do some fucked up shit. But yeah, I'm still reeling from it. I can't get over all the crazy visuals that happen later on in the film, and the, you know, other wing of the castle.
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, Stuart Gordon movies tend to have a lot of sex in them and a lot of fucked up sex scenes, and this one's no exception. This one's got a couple of memorable ones.
Oh my goodness. So what do you now... He does get himself in a bind because he ends up like fighting with the wife, and then they, you know, they had the disagreement because, you know, she didn't want to have sex with him. So later on, he ends up at a bar.
He's literally like, but I've been so good. Can't we make up now?
Yeah, I just killed one kid. Like, we're down one kid now. And she's blind. So, you know, there's that. I'm like, what's wrong with you? That doesn't make, you know, someone hot. He goes to the bar and he gets drunk and he picks up this woman.
Well, you should know right away that the way this woman is dressed and the way she's looking at him, she's a prostitute. She's gonna want to get paid for this.
This bitch had her own corkscrew in her purse. Okay, she was ready to get down at any moment.
Oh yeah, she first went up to him, said, do you have a light? He's like, no, I don't smoke. And then she takes a lighter out of her purse and lights her cigarette. So, okay, so why did you need to talk to him about the light? Oh, you just needed an intro for this business transaction that you wanted to make.
That you, at no given point, didn't even try to, like, let him know what's up. You know, you let him do the deed, and then after you're like, and that's going to be, you know, $25.
Yeah, she just literally, like, tapped him on the shoulder, put her hand out. I was like, like the, she's like the waiter or the busboy at the hotel. It's like standing there with his hand out.
Oh, man.
But hey, he paid.
He did pay.
He didn't stiff her on it.
No, he didn't. He overpaid because she kind of fought like, where's, you know.
She tried to give him some of it back.
Change. And he's like, no, get the fuck out.
Because she's like, look, I don't know what you want for this extra, but I'm not down with it. So I'm out.
By his reaction, you can tell, fuck. I thought I was the man and I picked this woman up with my fucking skills. I am nothing but a pathetic loser.
Who got drunk and got picked up by a prostitute.
Yeah. And there was no condom involved, guys. There's no condoms in this movie whatsoever.
I mean, it was only the 90s. People didn't know about AIDS or anything back then. Oh, wait. Yeah, and then
when you're on vacation, you can't get that.
Oh, that's right. Another zip code. You said, exactly. Another area code. You're out. You're in your safe. You're in the clear. I forgot about that rule. Yeah, then of course, he's trying to go home to Barbara Crampton after this. Like, oh, hey, yeah, I was out a little late last night, but no worries. So, how are you feeling about the sex?
Now, all the while that shit's going on, the fucking star of the movie, Mr. Freak himself, is in some, like, other part of the castle, chained to a fucking wall, and he escapes, and he's kind of, like, roaming the castle, like, kind of like a Phantom of the Opera kind of thing.
He's naked.
Yes, he is naked. And, spoiler, big spoiler alert, insert here. Well, that's a joke. That's a cruel fucking joke. He will not be inserting anything, because he doesn't have a penis.
Or it was very, very small. One or the other. I could not tell.
That shit looked like a Ken doll to me. So we're going
to... Well, he had balls. So I don't know what was going on. But he had like... Yeah, you'll find that out later in the movie. But there was something fucked up going on there. So he's got a white sheet wrapped around himself, running around the castle, creepy peeping on people. And he's watching Jeffrey Combs and this prostitute the whole time.
Yeah. So, of course, like in all things, while she's leaving, he's like, I'm going to kidnap a bitch.
So he grabs her and takes her back to the special sex cell that they have down the basement for him, apparently.
It's funny how some parts of the movie characters that are in that part of the house are heard by other characters that are at other parts of the house. But when there needs to be someone to listen to something, everyone's totally oblivious about what's going on.
Yeah, sound carries very strangely in the castle. Sometimes they hear, like, the daughter downstairs go, "Help, I need help." The next thing, they can't hear someone literally being ripped apart in the same room. It's like,
it's like selective hearing.
Yeah, they were like, "I don't know. I don't want to hear this part." So they just go on with their life, I guess.
My other favorite part is kind of like a boring part, but it's the part where he's having that interaction with the lawyer.
Yes.
After he becomes accused of the, kidnap and possible murder of the prostitute, who was kind of dating, like, the town cop who they had a kid together. It was a very weird
relationship. Very strange relationship, yeah. Like, she was involved with the cop and had a kid with him, but, yeah, she's also a known prostitute in the area, so I'm going to say the police force there might be a little corrupt.
Yeah, they're like, there's one part where he's like, "Well, she's a prostitute," and he's like, the other person's like, "And how was she supposed to provide for her baby?" And I'm like, "I don't know, work at the fucking, convenience store, fuck."
There's probably other ways,
Sell some oranges by the road.
Do something. The prostitute shouldn't have been your first one.
No, that was her first one. She's like, I'm seeing the sheriff on the side, so I'm going to do some crazy shit over here, make my money, and, I make my own schedule. Yeah. I'm a mother. I don't have time to be doing set schedules.
Yeah, but the lawyer, who conveniently, his sister is the maid at the house, the lawyer's telling Jeffrey Combs, "Don't worry about it. They got no proof. They can't do anything to you." The sister calls and goes, "Hey, I found the prostitute's purse and everything in the castle." He's like, "Oh, well, okay." Sets back down with Jeffrey Combs. He goes, "Yeah, you're going to go to jail. They're going to put you in jail." Then it's just like, but I can probably get you off on it. But when I do, I'm going to need a lot more money. It's like, wait, are you saying you're going to blackmail him? And he's like, "Oh, that's such an ugly word." But yes.
Yeah, he was not trying to hide that fucking fact.
"I'm going to have my sister throw this purse in the river, not connected to you. Then you're going to pay me a lot of money." So.
Yeah, and if they would have found her, if they would have found her alive, I don't know if, like, her bottom, like, if her vagina was going to be intact, because Jeffrey Combs ate that fucking pussy like he was a starving man at a buffet. Like, that shit was a crazy fucking scene, okay? It got mad rated R up in here.
Well, which is, of course, why the castle freak watching this, who has never had any experience with a woman, took that a little bit further. And he actually ate her.
Yeah, he ate, he goes straight for the boob, like the nipple, okay? And the areola, he just peeled that shit off like it was a pepperoni and a slice of pizza.
And he ate it without a moment's hesitation. And while all that was going on, nobody heard her screaming in the castle.
No.
And I'm going to tell you.
Because it was foreign screaming. They didn't know what that was.
Didn't understand it?
Yeah, no, they didn't understand it.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty sure that the screaming that happens when they rip your entire nipple off with their teeth is probably really loud. And people are going to hear you.
It's not that the whole scene where the freak is like doing the weird stuff to her. I was like, this shit, because it looks real. Like, they did the special effects for Stuart Gordon films, like, with the even Dolls, amazing.
Yeah, he doesn't hold back anything.
No, that shit, I was like, oh, shit, like, you hurt, like, you're literally holding your own nipple, close to yourself, because it is pretty,
yeah, it's pretty graphic.
It's pretty graphic.
And you're like, oh, God, she did not deserve that.
I don't even know what I would even do. She was all chained up to the wall, and then the saddest part. This is the part that throws the whole fucking shit later on with the lawyer guy. The maid, finally, someone hears this woman screaming, and she comes looking and to see, opens the door, there's a woman chained to the fucking wall, nipple gone, just barely alive. And she tries to help her, ... It was not a good ending for...
Yeah, it did not go well for the maid. So this just completely dooms Jeffrey Combs, because now the lawyer, his own lawyer, is against him because, like, well, now my sister's been killed by you, apparently. So, yeah, he's in deep shit then.
And why is the daughter who... The daughter, obviously, no pun intended, because she's blind, right? She catches the eye of Castle Freak. You know, she's young, and he doesn't... I thought that he didn't know that she was blind, because she didn't really react, I guess, in the way that he thought that she would react. I thought he knew that she was blind earlier on.
No, he didn't realize she was blind, and he didn't... Okay, the cats are running amok. I think that was why he got obsessed with her, was because she didn't react, like, she didn't freak out when she saw him. So he thought, oh, okay, well, she's going to be really into me because she's not freaking out when she sees me.
Yeah.
It's not until later that he realizes she's blind.
Yeah. Why is she looking back at some of the scenes where, like, they're running away and there she is, like, looking back, like, what are you looking at? You're blind. There's no looking back.
Yeah, that's one of those things just where they didn't catch that, because I'm sure she just out of force of habit. You're running like, oh, the guy's chasing. We got to look behind, because she was probably just cueing into Barbara Crampton, who's like looking behind her. So she probably just looked at the same time, didn't even think about it. But he's like, oh, yeah, don't look behind you, blind person. Keep going straight ahead.
But then it's like, is that part of like your memory? Let's say you saw to a certain extent in your life, so you know what that is. So you just are automatically going to, when you're running, and obviously you have to have someone running after you, you just would look back anyways. It's just like something the body just does.
It's kind of a muscle memory type thing. It's like, oh, I hear behind him coming behind me. I'll turn that way even though I can't see.
I just thought it was funny because I was just like, I don't know if that's accurate. But this girl, she, for being blind and having to deal with this shit, she does definitely put up a good fight. But Barbara Crampton, man, she is not fucking around. She is like, and she's actually like that from the beginning. This is my daughter. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I'm going to do anything to protect her. I already lost a kid. Like, she's overly protective for obvious reasons.
Like you would be, especially like, oh no, my husband caused the death of one kid and blinded the other. Yeah, I'm going to be super protective of this.
Yeah, and now she's blind, so she has, you know... She's learning how to deal with this disability because it just happened. It isn't like this happened like 5 years ago. It was still very fresh in their experience and memories.
So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting trivia behind this movie that I came across. I thought was interesting was that the castle that they use, where the whole movie's set in, is owned by Charles Band, that does Full Moon Pictures. He's like the president, you know, does some of the music in these movies and all that too. Like, so that's just his actual house. Which is crazy because I didn't know Full Moon was that successful, that you can just own your own castle.
Hell yeah, they're successful. They got apparently a shit ton of movies.
They do, but yeah, that's insane that they can just, you know, afford Puppet their own Master castle. Puppet Master 13 or whatever. And this is kind of loosely based on...
He better be using that fucking castle right. I am so sorry to, like, talk over you. Because if I owned the castle, I'd be having a party there, like, every month would be, like, some crazy-themed castle party.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a lot of fun. I couldn't imagine owning my own castle.
Like, first party, like, fucking vampire masquerade. Like, oh, fine, whatever. Been there, done that. I'm sure thousands of people have done that. But this would be in a real fucking castle.
Yep. This one also, again, with Stuart Gordon, loves Lovecraft. This is loosely based on Lovecraft's short story, The Outsider. A few years ago at Spooky Empire, I saw a panel with Barbara Crampton and Jeffrey Combs, and this was one of the movies they talked about. And they said that this one got greenlit because someone came into Charles Band's office and saw that he had a poster for Castle Freak on the wall and said, you know, basically, hey, what about this one? Is this one ready to go? He said, absolutely, we're ready to go on that one right now. They didn't even have a script yet. All they had was a title and a poster that said Castle Freak. So they, once they got the guy to give them the money, they were like, all right, we need to write this movie and get going.
To think that there are films out there that people sat around for like God knows how long, created a script and all that, and then they fucking made like, you know, what's a terrible movie that I hate? I can't think of it. But they make a terrible movie. And this movie was just created out of a poster.
Yeah, they did this
in Blood Rain.
Blood Rain,
They make Blood Rain.
They spent years working on that, and then they made a better movie than Blood Rain. Well, anybody makes a better movie than Blood Rain. But they made a better movie than Blood Rain in, like, a week.
Yeah, which is freaking, like, kudos to you people.
Yeah, it shows how talented these people are.
Yeah, the drop of a fucking hat. That's so crazy, you know? Just like, let's go do this and do this, and let's do this at my house. And, yeah, I would love to have been a fly in the wall in that house, like, just regular living.
I'm sure that's how they can keep a lot of the production costs down. Because you can stay in the house, film in the house. Then really all you've got to do, you don't have to pay for any accommodations. You don't have to pay for location. You just have to pay to feed the actors and pay for the crew.
It's literally like precursor to Paranormal Activity, which was like the whole thing with that movie. It was just sitting in that fucking house with the cameras in there, boom.
Yeah. They're pretty smart because even like Stewart's other movies, and we're talking a lot about him on this one because besides just Castle Freak, we've covered several of his. And, you know, he was very good at using his budget. Like the house in Dolls was reused as the house in From Beyond. So they just slightly shifted things around in the house to be like, oh, it's a different house now. And that's very clever. You can get two movies out of one set, you know?
Yeah. I just mouth drop and high five.
Yeah. He was a great guy, and he's going to be missed because, you know, all of his movies, for the most part, were pretty solid with effects. And he got the best people to come in and work on them, and he just let them go crazy, you know? If they wanted to do some crazy shit, whether you're biting off a nipple, or, you know, the crazy shit in Reanimator or From Beyond, he just went with it, you know? Whatever effect they came up with, he was like, that's good. Let's get crazier.
I still think it looks great. Like, it looks still good to me.
Yeah.
It's practical effects, and, you know, those are artisans.
Yeah. I would love to have seen some of his stage plays that he did. I know they did a musical of Reanimator. That's supposed to be amazing. I know they spray the crowd with blood and guts at one point. They actually throw, like, fake guts onto the crowd. And he did another one. I think it was called... Oh, I can't remember. It might have been just called Meat or something like that. But it was based on one of those true stories where the guy puts an ad in the paper for... he wants to know if someone will come to his house so he can eat them.
Oh, and my goodness.
You know, they made fun of it kind of in the IT crowd. Where he was like, oh, it's one of them German cannibals.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was like, he just calls him to his house, and it's like, okay, so it'd be cool if I just killed you, cook you, and ate you? Okay. And it's the whole play is just two people, like, in their dynamic of why would you want to do that, and then why would you want someone to do that to you?
So that's very interesting.
I would have loved to have seen that, but it only played, like, around L.A., of course.
Of course.
But I would have loved to have gotten to see that, because they said that was another pretty intense one. They're, like, actually cooking meat on stage, and... It sounded insane. I was dying to see it.
Well, check out Castle Freak. We actually viewed it on Amazon Prime?
Tubi.
Tubi. It's Tubi. Always Amazon Prime in my head.
Yeah, Tubi's our new best friend because there's so many different choices on that.
Shit, it was on Tubi.
Yeah, Tubi needs to be our... it's also available on Shudder, but we just couldn't happen to get Shudder to work that night for some reason.
Yeah, I know a lot of you know what we're talking about.
Sometimes Shudder's great, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I love it, though. Love it.
All right, so I personally would give this one 4 knives.
I am also going to give it 4 knives and a nipple. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us once again at the Jump Scare Podcast. And we actually have a... contest going on to the end of the month. If you go over to our Instagram page, you can leave us a positive comment.
Positive review. On the iTunes page.
Which is
page.
A comment. So leave us that positive review. And, you know, we're going to do a drawing at the end of the month out of all the people that have submitted a comment. Leave us your username.
Yeah, leave us your username. You'll see the post. It's marked giveaway. And just comment on our iTunes page, comment, give us a good review and rating, and then come back, give us your username on the Instagram post, and you will be entered into the win 3 Blu-rays.
3 Blu-rays. They have not been opened. They're not scratched. They're originals. I won them, and I won some of them, and, you know, we will wipe them down. They're in the plastic, so we'll wipe them down with a disinfectant.
And we will send them on their way.
And we'll send them out. We'll send pictures of us holding it with our gloved hands and our masks so you know that they have not been tainted in any way. We're both very healthy. everyone, even the cats, thankfully. And we hope that you are all healthy and well out there as well. And if you just want to send an email just about some random horror bullshit or whatever, you can always go to staytunedtothehorror@gmail.com.
All right.
Thank you so much, and stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.